Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Lamed Vav of Sefer Yechezkel, chapter 36 of the book of Yechezkel. The end of the chapter is a haftarah that we all know. It's from Parashat Parah, and we'll get to it, and it deals very interestingly with issues of Tumah and Tahara and Jewish beliefs about ritual purity and impurity. But the beginning opens up with a slightly different topic that we'll then move into that. So we open with V'ata ven Adam hinavel harei Yisrael v'amarta harei Yisrael shimudvar Hashem. Hashem says to Yechezkel, so this Nevuah is going to be Harei Yisrael, right? The Pasuk says, Hinavel Harei Yisrael, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say to them, mountains of Israel, hear the word of Hashem. So part of what's interesting here is that the Radak says, El Harei Yisrael, Achar Shidiber Pur Anut El Har Seir, Diber Nechama El Harei Yisrael. After Hashem speaks to, towards the mountains of Seir, as we spoke about in the previous parak, in the previous chapter. So now Hashem gives forth words of comfort to the mountains of Israel. What doesn't quite fit, or what needs explanation here, is that Hashem already gave some comfort to the mountains of Israel in previous chapters, and that whole rhythm of first predicting what's going to go wrong for other nations and then what's going to go right for the Jewish people seems to have come in a previous chapter. So following what we said yesterday, I would suspect the answer is that it's not until Seir gets their full comeuppance and their full disciplining that Harei Yisrael can expect their full redemption, their full comfort, their full return. Since your enemies have celebrated, ach is a word of celebration, uvamot olam lemorasha haitalan, when they claim and they say to themselves, oh, we are going to now inherit and take over. Bamot Olam is heights of eternity, meaning the land of Israel, which has always been an important part of the world. And therefore, Yechezkel's job is to give a nevuah, saying, because they were so interested in taking over you, and they were looking to, wanting to take over you, wanting to capture you, and they made you into a topic of conversation among all the nations. So Rashi says, "Al sfat lashon means v'achshav bechurbanchem akom medabrim umedovivim bachem." Now, in your time of destruction, everybody's talking about you and wants to be a part of you, or wants to celebrate your destruction and to be excited about it. The Radak thinks that it just means that it was universal, that in all languages people were talking about the Jews and how great it was that they were being destroyed. So Hashem says, because of that, Lachain Harei Yisrael Shimudvar Hashem Elokim, because of that reaction on the part of the nations, listen to what Hashem says, Kol Amar Hashem Elokim Leharim V'Lagivaot V'Lafikim V'Lagayot, all the places, the mountains and the hills and the water courses, the wadis where the water runs, and the valleys V'Lecharavot Hashemimot V'Leharim HaNe'ezavot, and to the places that have been wasted, and there are cities that have been abandoned, Ashayu Levazu Lag, that are a source of mockery, the Shevita Goyim Hashem Yisaviv, that all the nations around have been making fun of. So because of all of that, Lachain Kolmar Hashem Elokim Pasuk Hey, therefore Hashem says, Im lo be'esh kinati dibarit al Shevita Goyim al Adom Kula, Asher natnu et artzi, lahem lemorasha b'simchat kol levav b'shat nefesh, lema'an migrashah lavaz. Therefore, Hashem says, if not, I'm going to have Eish Kinati, a blazing wrath, is the way the English has it, a fiery zealousness, and with that, speaking against all the other nations, including Edom totally, which, as we've seen in the previous chapter, is sort of the height of abandonment of their brethren, who have made this land, my land, an inheritance of their own. They've taken it over with happiness, and their hearts are full of joy. And it's going to, in the end, lead to them becoming a prey and spoils. L'chein hinavel admat Yisrael. So this is what Yechezkel is being told to, and the workup is worth watching. Right? We've seen this before, where Hashem says, Ya'an, and then has another introductory pasuk, and then another. So here too, Hashem is building up. L'chein pasuk vav. There was a L'chein pasuk dal, I'm sorry. Pasuk pasuk gimel starts with lachain, dalit starts with lachain, hay starts with lachain, vav starts with lachain, zayin starts with lachain. So it's, and each lachain is theoretically means therefore, but it can't each one be therefore. So the, for example, the JPS doesn't translate it as therefore, but in the original Hebrew it has that effect. Lachain he nevel ema yisrael amarta laharim lagvaot lafikim lagayok omar shalokim hinivikinati vachamati dibarti yan klimat goyim nisatem. Nisatem. So you speak to all these various places, like we had in Pasuk Dalet, all the areas that, and it's sort of going a step further. In that previous Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet, Hashem says, listen to what Hashem said. This is what Hashem says to all of the areas that were lavaz, that were a laughing stock and a prey among all the nations. And then another Pasuk that about the fire of his kina, and then coming back to that, he navei to all of these same places. This is what Hashem says: I'm now speaking with my anger and my zealousness, jealousy, my wrath, because of all of the embarrassment of the nations that you have borne. Lachen kumar Hashem Elokim, ani nasati et yadi, and this is the final one. I am raising my hand in lo agoyim asher lachem yisavim himaklimatam yisau. All the nations around you are going to bear the embarrassment of their actions. They will of their attitude, right? And the Sifrei comments on this pasuk that the whole idea of Hashem swearing to something is only because of people who refuse to believe, right? They are talking about the pasuk Ki Asal Shamayim Yadi. When Hashem creates the world, Lo Bara Ela B'Ma'amar, He could have just done it with words, right? Vayihar. But also with an oath. So why with an oath? So it says, because of Mechusari Amana, and quotes our Pasuk, their doubts and their inability to understand the way that Hashem works and the plan of Hashem in the world is what leads Hashem to needing to make a Shua. So a Shua in this context would seem to be a verification and a determination to verify in a way that the entire world will understand the truths that are true anyway, but that need to be made more clear. And then you, the mountains of Israel, you should know that your branches should start growing and your fruit you'll give, and it'll be for my people Israel, because they are almost coming, they are soon to come. So there's this very interesting Gemara in Megillah on Yod Zayin Amud Bet. It's interesting, for a lot of stories on Yizayin Amid Aleph, I think, and it goes on to Yizayin Amid Bet. It's like a long discussion, or maybe the other answer is Yizayin Amid Bet goes to Yechad Amid Aleph, but it analyzes why each of the Brachot of Shemoneh Esrei is placed next to the one before it, seeing it not as a random order. And what it says about the middle Brachot is, about some of the middle Brachot is, Ma Ra'u Lomar Kibbutz Galiot, why do we mention the Bracha of Kibbutz Galiot? Bring us back to Eretz Israel, Israel, right after Berachat Hashem, right after the bracha for livelihood, and it quotes our pasuk and it shows that Eretz Israel gives its fruit, and then it's because Ki Kervu Lavo, because, and then they're going to be coming soon. They're going to be coming back, so that the return of an economy that's functioning again. If you want to say it's just the fruit in Eretz Israel, you can, I suppose. But if I take it more broadly as the economy that's functioning well in a way that can support the Jewish people, that is going to be a sign that the Jewish people are going to be coming back, and that is the first step in the Jewish people coming back. Pasuk Tet, Ki Hinei Alechem Ufaniti Alechem V'ne'evadtem V'nizvatem. Hashem is turning towards you, we're going to pay attention to you, and you'll be worked once again and planted once again. V'beiti Alechem Adam Kol Beit Yisrael Kulo, and then all of a sudden your population will rise, all of the Jewish people. V'noshvu He'arim, and the cities will be rebuilt. V'hechara'a will be resettled. V'hechara'avo Tibanena, and the destroyed cities will be rebuilt. Things that it would seem that we're seeing in our time, although the Nevuah will make it clear that we don't see all of what we are hoping to see. We're not fully there yet, but we're on, certainly seem to be on a way towards the fulfillment of Nevuah like this one. Pasuk Yiralev, Yerbeiti Aleichem, Adamu V'hemav, Rabu V'ufaru. And I will, Hashem is still talking to Eretz Israel, I will multiply upon you humans and animals, and they will be fruitful and multiply. V'oshavti Etchem, Kikadmotechem. You will be like it was in times of old. V'hativoti me'rishotechem, it will be even better than back then. And then our recurring refrain, this all comes about. V'idatem ki'ani Hashem. So first, I just point out, there is some discussion in some circles as to whether we are in a time of ikva to the Mashiach, of the footprints of the Mashiach, if this is Reshit Smichat Gulatenu and all that kind of discussion. I don't want to be political about it. I don't know that I can avoid it, but I just think it's interesting to note a Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Chedem and Aleph, where Rabbi Ava says, "Ein lecha keitz megulem mizeh." There is no greater or more obvious proof or sign of the redemption of the end of times, that you will give your fruit and your produce for the Jewish people. It would seem that Rabbi Ava's opinion was very clearly, and he was living hundreds or thousands of years before this came true, and it would seem that his opinion was that it is obvious that when the land of Israel once again returns to having an active and viable agricultural existence, and again, if I'm going to take it metaphorically, we would extend that to an active and a viable economy, that would be a clear sign that the redemption is on its way and that we are in a time of the harbingers of the redemption. Okay, and then Hashem says, you'll have all these people, and it'll be even better than it was before. It's going to be improved if it was before. And I'm going to bring the Jewish people there, and they're going to take over you, and you're going to be held by them as an heritage, and never again will they have to be bereaved. But when we go back the next time, Yechezkel is saying it will be the end of it. So now it seems like, sort of in the times that it was going on, people were speaking about the land of Israel, and they would say, well, that's a rough land, anybody moves there, as we just read, as we read in Parashat Shelach. I'm taping this soon after Parashat Shelach, so it's in my head, right? In Eretz Ochelet Yosheveh Hahi. So here too, people are saying that because the Jewish people are about to be kicked off of it, and it's about to be laid waste, so they throw the accusation at the land that it's the land itself that's the problem. Umishakelet Goyayeh Hayit, and you were the one who caused your various nations to not be able to survive upon you. So it's not going to be true anymore. It's going to stop, and you won't be an Eretz Ochel Yoshveh anymore. So you're not going to do that anymore. You'll never have to hear the embarrassment from other nations again. You won't bear their shame anymore. You will no longer be a source of a stumbling block. It'll never be a problem for the people who are living upon you. In other words, so the nevuah of Nechamah to the Jewish people is that when the next time comes around, when the return, the Shivat Zion, comes and happens, it's going to happen in such a way that it will remove from the Jewish, from the land of Israel, the stains and the embarrassment of what has happened to it till now, which was that people saw what happened to its inhabitants and assumed that it was a function of the land, when what they were supposed to assume that it was a function of the actions of the people on the land. So Hashem promised that Hare Yisrael. So then we move on from there to a discussion of how this is going to come about, that the Jews will come back and that they will be returned and that the land of Israel will be comforted in the way that's been promised to it. So Pasuk Tet Zayin, Vayid Vashem Elayin Emor, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ben Adam Beit Yisrael Yoshim Al Admatam Vayitam U'otah B'Darkam U'Va'alilotam K'numat Hanida Hita Darkam Lefanai. So Hashem says, and this is the haftarah for Parashat Parah that we read in the weeks right after Purim. So Hashem says, the Jewish people, He says to the Jewish people, are still living in Eretz Israel, they're still living on their land, vayitamu'u ota, and they have defiled it, right? With their ways and their actions, kitumat hanida hitadarkam lefanai, and it's like the tumah of a nida is what it was like before me. So the question is, one of the questions is would be the value of the metaphor. What is the point of comparing it to tumat hanida? So Rashi says kitumat hanida is to tell you that there's something about this tumah that's important to know. When a woman is a nida, and so she and her husband are not to have an ordinary marital relationship, so the husband is waiting for that time to be over. He's anxious for that time to be over. So too, Hashem is saying, the tum'ah that the Jewish people have created and caused themselves by virtue of their various actions are not ones that have alienated Hashem, and therefore Hashem is uninterested in us anymore. Rather, it's like tum'ah nidah, that Hashem is waiting, Hashem being the husband of the metaphor, Hashem is waiting for us to become tehorim again so that we can return to a full marital relationship with Hashem. The Radak, on the other hand, emphasizes the other aspect of it, that, or another aspect of it, that that when a woman is in Ida, at least in their times and in their halakha, the husband sends her far away and distances himself from her very significantly. So the Radak says, and that's what's happening, going to happen now with the Jewish people. Hashem is going to send the Nida, the Jewish people, far away into exile, into other lands, and when she becomes Torah, when she again returns to her original ritual purity, that's when she will be able to come back and to return to her relationship with her husband. So now Hashem is going to pour his wrath out against the Jewish people for all of the things they did wrong. Seems like murder, as we pointed out on other occasions in other chapters, in other parakim, the blood that they spilled, and all of the evils that they've done that defile the land. And I therefore scatter them throughout the nations, and they will be spread throughout the land. I have judged them, again, this is a recurring theme as well, that I've judged them according to their ways and according to their actions. So any claims that Hashem is over punishing are being denied repeatedly. It's Hashem punishing only like what we did wrong, we just are refusing to accept that. And they come to the land that they've gone to, and they there desecrate Hashem's name. When they say, oh, this is the nation of God, and they've been kicked out of his land. So what's the desecration of God's name? It's in the very fact of us being exiled that they can say, look at this. This is God's nation. As Rashi says, this is God's nation. As the Red Duck says. As Rashi says, this is God's nation. And yet God couldn't protect them. God couldn't take them, couldn't save them from exile. Right? And the same thing, the Gemara in Yoma, Pevam and Al, was defining Achil Hashem, quotes our Pasuk as well. That if people see somebody who acts inappropriately, who is a Talmud Chacham, or has learned Torah, and studied Torah, and they act inappropriately, they say, look at this person. He studied Torah, he's supposed to be so religious, he's supposed to be this, supposed to be that, and he does terrible things. How terrible it is to learn Torah, what value could there be in Torah? And then quotes our Pasuk. So this is an important source Pasuk for the idea that if people who are identified with observance and with knowledge act in ways or even have things happen right now, our pasuk is they go into exile and they get punished and Hashem doesn't save them from it. So that seems like even that is sufficient to create a chilul Hashem, to create a desecration of Hashem's name. Pasuk v'alavayachmol al shem kodshi asher chilulu beYisrael b'goyim asher ba'ushama. And therefore Hashem says, and part of the reason, part of the stimulus for the redemption will be that Hashem will have compassion on his own name, meaning the reputation of Hashem and the idea that Hashem runs the world and the idea that it's important to follow Hashem are such vital ideas that at some point, even if the Jews have not yet learned on their own the lessons they need to and have not yet come to the realizations that they need to come about Hashem, Hashem may decide to act anyway for the sake of his own name, for the sake of keeping Hashem's name functioning in the world in a way that people recognize. Pasuk Chav Bet, Lachain, Emor LeBeit Yisrael, Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Lo Leman Chem Ani Oseh Beit Yisrael, Ki Im L'Shem Kodshi Asher Chilaltem Magoyim Asher Batem Sham. Hashem says, you have to tell the Jewish people that I am not redeeming you, or I will not redeem you at the point in the future that you will be redeemed is not necessarily going to be because you deserve it. It might be, and this is a matter of debate, in the Gemara already, as to whether or not we're going to be redeemed because we deserve it, whether we need tshuva or don't need tshuva, or whether Hashem might eventually bring a strong ruler who will persecute us so mercilessly that we will end up doing tshuva. But what the stress is here, and it could happen in a lot of different ways, but the stress is here is that if we don't do tshuva, so Hashem is saying, you got to know it's not going to be for you that I'm going to return you to the land, but also for the sake of Hashem's name, because that battle of making sure that the world as a whole, Jews and non-Jews, understand Hashem's rulership is so important and so vital that it might come to be that even though we don't yet deserve it, Hashem will nonetheless save us. And it won't be for our sake. I will re-sanctify my name that has been desecrated by you. And that goal, that the non-Jewish nations, really all the nations, including the Jews, will know that God is Hashem. When I am sanctified among them, when I am sanctified through you, through the salvation of the Jewish people, Right? And Rashi says, the way that Hashem is going to do Kaddish Hashem is by taking us out from among them. That will be a sanctification, and so it's through us. We're the tools of Hashem. It's almost that we often speak of the Jews as the chosen people with a special relationship with Hashem, special responsibilities, and all these things. But in this particular instance, and it's going to be true, it's going to be true going forward in the Perek as well, it's not that we get something from it. We do get something from it, but it's almost like we lose some of our humanity because we are just a vehicle. We're a means to an end. The end being that the world should recognize Hashem. We have the right and the ability to make that happen. But if we don't make it happen on our own, at some point Hashem will say, well, I'm going to make it happen. And then we will lose some of our human freedom and independence because we'll become the tool and the vehicle of Hashem's bringing the redemption. I'm going to return you to the land of Israel, which in and of itself is a very good thing. And I'm going to throw upon you waters of purification, right? Like this is why it's in Parshas Parah, because Parshas Parah is about the paraduma water that you throw on a tamei mate, somebody who was had ritual corpse impurity. So you would throw paraduma water on that person, and he would become tahor and once again be allowed to enter the environs of the Beis Hamikdash. So that is the parallel that's being referenced here, or that's being, that's being referenced here. And Hashem is saying, I'm going to do the same thing to you, and this sort of plays into a nice Rambam at the end of Hilchot Mikvaot, where the Rambam says, Tum and Tara are mysteries, and they don't really mean dirt, and there's no specific thing. There's a whole discussion about whether Tum and Tara are a metaphysical reality, or they're just something created by Halacha for various purposes. And that's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, as to how that works. But the Rambam also says, but there's also a symbolism in Tum and Tara. It's a symbolism to wrong ideas and wrong thoughts, which are a similar, which are a more, almost a more real kind of Tum, a more real kind of impurity. And there he says, just like water can remove ritual impurity, so too just bathing yourself in the waters of, this is the phrase the Rambam uses, the waters of proper intellect and proper knowledge can do that for those kinds of impurities as well. So Hashem is promising that he will, at this point, in this stage, whatever that stage will be, throw these waters of purification on us, and we'll become purified. But one more pasuk, and then I'll go back and mention a word that Rabbi Soloveitchik, Alav HaShalom, said, that I think is very beautiful. Pasuk HaVav, V'natati lechem lev chadash, v'ruach chadasha etin v'chem, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit among you, v'hasiroti alev ha'evin min b'sarchem, and I will remove the heart of stone from within you, v'natati lechem lev basar, I will give you a softer heart, a heart of flesh, a heart of meat, that will presumably be more sensitive to Hashem and Hashem's realities, and more responsive to Hashem's wants, wishes, and commands. So that too raises important issues to think about. So the first set of issues I wanted to think about was that when Hashem says "Vizarakti lachem mayim tahorim utahartem," so Rashi says it's a chaper aleichem va'avir tumotechem b'hazayat mechatat amarim tumatamet, right? The waters of paraduma water, the red heifer waters, remove ritual impurity, so I will also atone for you, and that's what it means here. The Radak is obviously bothered by the symbolism a little bit, so he says it's a metaphor. Like the Tameh is purified by water, that he, now the Radak says, Shetovel Bahem, that you immerse yourself in, that's mikvah water, and also by having water being sprinkled on you, so too, somebody who has the impurities of sin can be purified by kapara. So very similar to each other. But it's not clear that that's what the psukim exactly mean, because here it sounds like Hashem is saying he's going to remove it from us. And in that context, the last Mishnah in Yoma has Rabbi Akiva talking about the purifications we get before Hashem, that Hashem is mechaper for us, gives us atonement, and therefore purifies and cleanses us, and quotes two psukim. V'zarak our pasuk, v'zarakti lechem, that Hashem will throw upon us mayim tahorim, and also the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which says mikveh Yisrael Hashem, that Hashem is like a mikvah for us. So Rabbi Soloveitchik and Al-Tshuva, the Rav, pointed out, really I think very beautifully, that there's difference between a mikvah and mechatas, that the mikvah, first you go into it and you immerse yourself in it. The mechatas are thrown upon you by somebody else and it comes from outside of you. So it would seem to refer to two different kinds of purification you can achieve. One is where you take action to produce it, and you are a player and a partner in the creation of the purification. You need Hashem's help because the idea that you can purify yourself is only a gift from Hashem. But you have something to do about it and with it and for it. And the other one is it just happens to you. And here we seem to be stressing, Hashem seems to be stressing in this parak, that it's happening to us. In that context, there's an interesting Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Amud Beis, where Rabbi Yossi is at least of the opinion that in the future, Mamzerim, people who are born with an improper lineage because his parents, or her parents, the Mamzer's parents, had conducted relations, marital sexual relations, that were punishable by Kares or worse, Kares or the death penalty. So anybody who engages in relationships and has a child, that child is a Mamzer forever, and it's a big problem in Halacha. So Rabbi Yossi says, in the time of Mashiach, that those mamzerim will be tahar, will no longer have the stigma of mamzerut. They will become regular, ordinary Jews. They will lose all stigma whatsoever. So the Rashba says, I don't understand. How's that going to work? And we don't believe that the halacha goes away just because Mashiach comes. So the Rashba says, no, he thinks it's going to be a horat sha'ah, a special decree. There's going to be a sort of an amnesty. All of the living mamzerim in that generation will stop being mamzerim. But from then on, if anybody does it again, those will be mamzerim. So I find the Rashba interesting in a lot of different ways. First, it suggests that he understands Rabbi Yossi to be saying that there will be a sort of a new start in the time of Mashiach. And we're not talking about resurrection of the dead. That seems to happen later in this perspective. And there will be a new start in the time of Mashiach, and you'll be able to avoid mamzerut. And this being mitaher us, which is where the Rabbi Yossi gets it from, that Hashem will be mitaher us, has actual significance. That we'll just be able to rid ourselves of certain kinds of tuma, whether ritual impurity, whether halachic impurity, and whether the impurities of sin. We'll be able to get rid of that, but the Rashba says, but then it'll go back to ordinary, to usual, halacha functioning as it always functioned, which means that the Rashba can imagine, even after Mashiach comes, people will still engage in those kinds of inappropriate, improper sexual relations. So that's a whole topic about Mashiach. I would put in a plug right here for a book called Murder in the Mikdash, but I've done it too many times, so I won't. But that's a topic of how Mashiach, the time of Mashiach, do or don't differ from us, is a worthy topic of consideration. And Hashem here is functioning to help us become purified. And so then that's the next piece that comes up. The next piece that comes up is then the next pasuk. What Hashem says is, I'm going to give you a lev chadash. I'm going to give you a new heart. So what does it mean, Hashem is going to give us a new heart? So the Radak just says, the newness of the heart is that we'll have a more ready heart to listen and to pay attention to Hashem. We'll be more prone to it. So it's almost as if our hearts will be the same, but circumstances will function to make it easier. Right? Certainly it's easier if we lived in a world where everybody around us believes in Hashem and believes that it's important to keep Hashem's mitzvahs. That's going to be an easier world in which it would, to be Jewish and to really care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just Jewish, in which to really serve Hashem, than a world in which everybody denies it. So the Radak seems to say something along those lines. But on the other hand, the Ramban is of the opinion, when it comes to the pasuk in Devarim that says that Hashem will circumcise our hearts, and I apologize, there may be a little bit of break in the continuity here. I had an issue with the recorder and I had to stop recording, and now I'm coming back to it. I believe this is what we're up to. We're discussing when Hashem says, Netati lachem lev chadash. So the Radak had said that the lev chadash is a greater propensity to be aware of and to understand and to be accepting of the messages that Hashem wants to send. And the Ramban is going to come closer to saying, and he bases it also on the pasuk in Devarim, Uvumal Hashem et levavchem, and that Hashem is going to circumcise our hearts. The Ramban seems to be of the opinion that that's referring to some actual significant change of nature that will occur in Yimot Mashiach, in which we will really be, in some deep way, more, will tend more to follow Hashem and to accept Hashem's messages and ideas for us, right? And so he says, in the times of Mashiach, choosing what is right and good will be natural for us, and we won't want all the things we're not supposed to want. Then he quotes our pasuk. So that's a debate as well, as to a difference, or at least not a debate, if not a debate, a difference of perspectives as to how Yimot Mashiach work and what exactly Hashem is promising us for these times. But Hashem is promising it also, just remember, not to us so much as to, I mean, this is based on the Hare Yisrael needing it, and this section which is addressed to us is premised on that it's not for our sake, it's for Hashem's sake. So it could be that there will be a loss if we don't handle it properly, appropriately, there will be a loss to us of things we should have been able to do on our own. And I will give my spirit among you or within you, and I will do such things that you will follow my chukim, you'll follow my laws, and you'll keep my mishpatim. And you live in the land that I gave your forefathers, and you'll be my nation, and I'll be your God. So maybe at this point already we'll return to doing it somewhat on our own, but it's a question, a continuing question. And I will save you from all of your impurity, all the things that you did that got you away from Hashem, and I will call out to the Dagan, and I will multiply it, and then you won't ever have any famine anymore. I'll multiply the fruits of the trees and the produce of the fields, so you no longer will have to bear the embarrassment of famine in your land, as we said before, suggesting that in those days they saw having a famine in the land as not just being a distressing situation, but actually an embarrassing one for the nation that suffers. But our job will be to remember our evil ways, and the things that we did that weren't good, that weren't appropriate, and should be embarrassed about our sins, and we have to keep this in mind. In other words, one of the dangers of Hashem giving it to us, as it were, on a silver platter when we don't deserve it, is that we will just take it as our due. So the Radak reads this as, you will know this. It will, you will understand this, and you will remember that it was really just of Hashem to have given us the punishments that we've gotten, because we, in fact, did not deserve salvation. We did, in fact, did not do tshuva, and we did sin, and that will remain a part of how we understand ourselves. So that's a prediction for the future that has not yet arrived. Pasuk Lamed Bet, Lo L'manchem Ani Osenu, Hashem Elokim, is not for you. Yivadah Lachem, you have to keep it in mind. Boshu V'hikalamu Midarchechem Me'Yisrael, you have to be embarrassed of your ways and of what you've done. Hashem says to the Jewish people, you should be embarrassed. So that's, again, something that I'm not sure that we have witnessed yet, a firm realization across the Jewish nation that the punishments we've gotten were deserved and just and appropriate, or that it's really our fault and that we have to do tshuva to get it. And so, and that comes back into the question of whether the redemption we will get or are in the process of getting will be a redemption that comes because we come to realize it, or because Hashem has to just do it for himself. So there's a Radak in Yeshayahu who talks about the various psukim, including this one, that says that we won't deserve it. And he says that perhaps what will happen is that Rov Yisrael Yeshiva B'tshuva Achar She'iru Simenu Gula, there will be signs of redemption, then most of the Jewish people will do tshuva, and they won't do tshuva though until the beginnings of the redemption. So if you wanted to place it into today's context, you could place it very interestingly. What level of tshuva do we have? What levels of redemption do we have? What can we expect in the future? And then the others will not do tshuva. And when we start moving our way back to Eretz Yisrael, the Radak seems to think we'll have them among us, and then eventually they will fall away, those who don't actually do tshuva. So whether he means get to Eretz Yisrael or get to a redeemed Eretz Yisrael is not so clear, but that's an interesting vision of the future, that it would be that as the Jewish people progresses towards the fullest redemption, so falling off along the way are those who stubbornly refuse to do tshuva, and what will be left at the end will be those who do it. But the beginning process was Hashem doing it for the sake of Hashem's great name. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Kol Amar Hashem Elokim, Yom Tahari Etchem Mikol Avonotechem, Hushavti Etarim Enimnu Hecharavot, on the day that I cleanse you of all of your sins and iniquities, and I resettle the cities, and those that were destroyed will be rebuilt, the Haaretz and Neshamat Tehaved, and the land that had been desolate will be worked again, Tachat Asher Yitashem Amam, instead of being laid waste, Leinei Kol Over, everybody passing through, Ve'amru, and people will say, Haaretz Aleizu HaNeshamah Itakigan Eden, they'll say this land that was wasteland, that was desolate, that was abandoned, has become like the Garden of Eden. Arim hecharevot, v'hanishamot, v'hanherasot, b'tzirot yashavu. And now the cities that were destroyed and wiped out and weren't there and they were completely struck down are now all of a sudden they're fortified again. V'yadu agoyim. Who's going to notice this? Who's supposed to be noticing this? V'yadu agoyim. Hashem yisharu sevivotechem. Those that are left around you. Kini Hashem banita neharasot. They'll know that I, Hashem, has done all this. So that's again something that we haven't yet reached. but it's supposed to be that striking, that unbelievable. Right? A land that was waste for hundreds and thousands of years, hundreds and thousands, not hundreds of thousands, hundreds and thousands of years, is all of a sudden thriving and booming again. In the late 1800s, you can see this at in Yerushalayim, if you go to the windmill, so they have statistics, right? In the late 1800s, when Jews started returning to Eretz Yisrael, there were under 10,000 people living in Eretz Yisrael, Jew or Arab or non-Jew. And now there are millions. So that process is supposed to produce the reaction of knowing that it's Hashem who is bringing this all about. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Kol Amar Hashem Elokim, Od Zot Yidaresh Levei Yisrael Lasot Lehem Arbe Otam Katzon Adam. And then Hashem says, and I'm going to do this for the Jewish people. I'm going to multiply them like Katzon Adam. I'm going to multiply them like sheep of people. Right? So the question is, what does sheep of people mean? So the next pasuk will say pasuk lamed chet ketzon kodashim ketzon Yerushalayim b'moadeha, like the sheep of holiness, like the sheep of Jerusalem on the holidays. So the cities, the destroyed cities, will be filled of sheep of people. So the Radak says in ketzon kodashim that it means like in Yerushalayim on Moadim. So they were going to be offering a lot of sheep because you had various korbanot, various sacrifices. So all the visitors to Israel were coming and bringing these various sheep with them to offer and to slaughter and to eat, to celebrate with, and all those things. There were many, many, many. So it's a way of saying the cities will be filled with people. But I find, especially in the context of this perek, the metaphor is interesting, because we've noticed that here everything is being done by Hashem to us, not for us, to us really on behalf of a greater goal, the goal of Hashem, of Hashem's name being made great. In that context, the idea that we're going to be sheep, we're going to be acted upon rather than actors, fits with this metaphor as well. So, to some extent, this is a parak where you're not sure if you want it to come true. You certainly want the results to come true. You want it to be that Hashem's name is no longer sacrileged and profaned and blasphemed. You'd like it to be that the Jewish people get back to Eretz Yisrael, but it comes here at a cost of we failing to do tshuva properly and in a timely fashion, and therefore having to become tools and vehicles and so on, and sheep, animals as it were, just following our shepherd, following Hashem blindly without having any partnership, was really the higher ideal and goal. So this is a redemption, and a redemption that Hare Yisrael can enjoy, because it will get people back. And to some extent, Hare Yisrael doesn't care whether the people who are back on it are full adult human beings who have the rights of freedom and use their freedom for good goals and get to partake of and to contribute to the shaping of the future, or whether it's just people who are being led and are forced to go wherever they're supposed to go, and they just follow Hashem and they are the vehicles of Hashem. So Hare Yisrael don't care about that, but we as Jews should care. We should strive. I think we should strive and hope for that the redemption we see, the fullest redemption, when it is completely and fully flowered, will involve people who have had the foresight to do tshuva properly and appropriately, and who therefore will be able to have a share and a say in shaping that future. Have a great day.